The Social Worker's Daughter by Fezzador. Read by Sam Gabriel. Based on the works of J.K. Rowling. Chapter 22. Let me tell you about the way she looked. The big day had arrived. It was Friday morning, and Harry was in an especially ebullient mood. He had a soiree with Lila to look forward to that evening. He couldn't help but have a little bit of a grin on his face all during breakfast. His Gryffindor buddies noticed he was in particularly good spirits. One of his fellow Gryffindors was not present, however.
"You seem especially happy this morning," Ron said. "Got another date tonight?"
Harry rolled his eyes.
"It's just a night out, not a date, Ron, and it's with Lila tonight. We're only going as friends."
"You can gussy it up however you want, mate," Ron chuckled. "It's a date." Harry shook his head in mild annoyance. "It's not a date, Ron."
"Well, take a look at the Hufflepuff table, then," Ron replied.
"Looks like Hermione is performing that hair charm on Lila again." He cracked a goofy grin. "She might look even better than Hermione did last Friday, and Hermione looked like a right angel."
Harry turned around and saw Hermione giggling with Lila, Susan, Hannah, and Megan. Lila's hair was charmed to braid itself into that lovely halo braid she wore on her birthday.
"You have two beautiful girls that are completely smitten with you, Harry," Dean said.
"I don't know how you do it."
Harry shrugged.
"I don't think they're necessarily smitten with me, Dean," he replied. "We're a bit of a trio, and we care about each other, but I'm not dating either one of them. We're just really special friends, is all."
"I know, mate," Seamus chimed in. "I see the way they look at you. They really like you. They think you're an amazing bloke."
"I'm sure they do," Harry sighed.
"But it's possible for them to think that about me, but have a non-romantic relationship, and I'm okay with that. I'm not even 12 yet, for Merlin's sake."
"We're just ribbing you, mate," Seamus added with a chuckle. "They're both angels there. We're just a little jealous of you, is all."
Harry smiled at his friends.
"I understand. They both mean the world to me. They truly are my world."
Neville placed his hand on Harry's shoulder.
"You're lucky, Harry. I'm just grateful that they'll both give me smiles or say hello to me. Most kids don't do that."
"That's just who they are, Nevy," Harry replied gently.
"They're just naturally kind and bubbly.
They're very similar, but they're also a bit different. But they do sort of balance each other out. Lila's outgoing and can read people better, and Hermione's more quiet and studious. They're very devoted to each other as well, don't forget."
"They both have lovely personalities," Neville agreed.
"I wish I was a bit closer to them. Maybe not like you, Harry, but I would like to have a relationship with them where we're, well, you know, actual friends and not just acquaintances."
"I'm sure they'd love to have you as a friend, Nevy," Harry responded with a slight smile.
"They both like you, I promise. But you also need to get out of your comfort zone and actually talk to them. That's what friends do. They do more than just smile and say hi."
"I'm not very good at that, Harry," Neville admitted. "I'm just painfully shy by nature."
Harry gave Neville a very reassuring smile.
"Remember a few weeks back, during our first flying lesson, when I told you that you had the goods to make that broom obey your commands?"
Neville nodded.
"I do, and I don't need a remembrance for that," he added with a soft chuckle.
Harry's smile grew even broader.
"And when I told you to think of something you wanted more than anything else in the world, and then I told you to shout up, loud and proud?"
"It's the same concept, Neville. You just have to believe in yourself. I believe in you. I always have, and I always will."
"Thank you, Harry," Neville replied with a bright smile. "That means a lot to me. You're brilliant at a lot of things, but you don't think you're better than everyone else. I love how helpful you are. I'm glad you're my friend."
He gave Harry a quick bro hug.
"I'm glad you're my friend too," Harry replied. "You'll be a great wizard someday, Neville Longbottom."
"You really mean it?" Neville asked, somewhat shocked.
"I guarantee it," Harry said with sincerity. "You'll be a good wizard on your own merits, but you'll be a great wizard because you'll have friends that care about you and will always help you. Friendship is a very, very powerful magic unto itself."
"And I'll do the same," Neville replied earnestly.
"Oh, I suppose I can tell you what I was thinking of when I made that broomstick jump to my hand."
Harry chuckled.
"What's that?"
"I want my gran to be really and truly proud of me," Neville said with a grin. "I love my gran. I don't know if she loves me, but when I finish school, I want her to look at me knowing that I've amounted to something."
"Sure he is, Neville," Harry said in the same sincere voice. "And you'll only make her prouder." Neville's cheeks turned a bit rosy.
"Thanks, Harry.
That really does mean a lot to me.
You're welcome, replied Harry.
Oh, if anyone asks, namely Lila or Hermione, I'll be either at Professor McGonagall's or Professor Burbage's office during my free period. Possibly both. I'll let them know, Neville said. I can go tell them now so they don't waste an hour looking for you. I know you probably want to let Lila surprise you this evening.
Brilliant, Harry replied. I really appreciate that. Thank you, Nevy.
During Harry's free period, he first went to Professor McGonagall's office to see if she was available.
Come in, Mr. Potter, the professor trilled.
Hello, Professor, Harry said. I have a small favour to ask, if that's all right. I know I've asked a lot lately, and I do feel kind of bad.
It's no trouble at all, my boy, replied Professor McGonagall. What can I do for you today?
Harry scratched the nape of his neck.
Well, Professor, it's about tonight. I only have one personal outfit that's presentable for a soiree, and I wore that last weekend. I don't really want to wear the same thing twice. I was wondering if you could maybe help me out there.
Professor McGonagall laughed softly.
This is a bit of a last-minute request, isn't it, young Potter?
She smiled at Harry.
I don't have anything on hand to lend you, at least personally, but I know a few people that might be able to assist.
She waved her wand at Harry and cast a non-verbal charm.
What was that for? Harry asked inquisitively.
That, young man, is for your measurements, the professor purred.
Is there a particular style you're looking for? I will say that you did look smart in the solid black turtleneck and trousers last time, but my guess is you're looking for a different look altogether.
I'm not sure, Professor, Harry replied with a note of indecision in his voice. Maybe a nice buttoned dress shirt, some trousers that go with the shirt, and some braces to hold my trousers up.
I see, replied Professor McGonagall. Is there a particular shade or pattern you're interested in?
Plum, Harry said. It's Lila's favourite colour.
Professor McGonagall chuckled.
Yes, I do seem to recall Miss Darling being a fan of deep purple. Miss Granger prefers a somewhat brighter shade of purple, if memory serves.
That sounds about right, agreed Harry.
All right, Mr. Potter. I think we can work something out for you. Is it just the shirt and braces you're needing specifically, as I believe your current pair of trousers will go with the outfit?
I'd rather have a fresh pair of dark trousers, Harry replied. I agree that they would go nicely, but I haven't had a chance to get them clean since last week. That said, I'm okay with socks and shoes, don't worry about those.
Very good, Harry, replied Professor McGonagall. Would you like a necktie or a bow tie, perhaps?
I'm a little sick of neckties, Harry said with a bit of a chuckle.
I guess a bow tie would be a nice change of pace.
I understand completely, Professor McGonagall replied. I'm sure you look quite sharp regardless.
I should have your outfit prepared later this afternoon. Why don't you drop by after your last class?
Perfect, replied Harry.
Thank you so much for helping me out. I'm sorry I didn't drop by earlier in the week, but from what I gather, Hermione is helping Lila get all dolled up. It's a soiree, not a date, but they're taking it pretty serious or something that's really between just friends.
Both Miss Darling and Miss Granger are very attractive young witches, murmured Professor McGonagall.
But you're overthinking things. Sometimes young ladies want to look nice for the sake of looking nice.
She smiled at Harry.
It's just a couple of butterbeers, Harry. You're not taking them to a Muggle symphony.
I suppose you're right, Professor, Harry agreed. Thanks again for being so helpful. Now I need to return this portable cassette player to Professor Burbage as I promised her that I would today.
The professor nodded.
I won't keep you then, young man. I hope that the Muggle device you borrowed served its purpose.
Harry chuckled.
It did. I can't wait to sing Lila's song tonight. It's really a lovely tune. It sounds kind of like a traditional Irish tune a little bit with the Tulalura and the fiddlies.
That does sound rather lovely, replied Professor McGonagall. I'm not very familiar with Muggle music. Was she named after this song?
No, Harry replied. The song was released when she was 3, but her father used to sing it to her. I'm surprised that there's a song with her name because Lila is really a rare girl's name.
You're right, it is uncommon, Professor McGonagall said. It's a very lovely name for a girl nonetheless. Did she say what her actual namesake was?
I think she was named after some Muggle politician's wife. I don't remotely remember who it was, I'm afraid, Harry said softly.
To my knowledge, I've only taught one other witch named Lila. Lila Lassiter. She was a Gryffindor, actually. She was in the same class as your friend Ronald Weasley's eldest brother Bill. I was rather fond of her as well. She said she was named after a minor character in a Kit Marlowe play. Tamerlan, I believe.
She smiled warmly at Harry.
Billy and Lila Lassiter were briefly an item, if memory serves.
She then paused to clean her spectacles with a handkerchief.
I'm sorry, Harry. I didn't mean to keep you. I trust that Professor Burbage gave you instructions in case she was not available, correct?
Harry nodded.
She did. She gave me a temporary password in case she wasn't in her office.
Excellent, replied Professor McGonagall. I suppose I'll see you later this afternoon, young man.
I'll see you then, said Harry. Thanks again.
Harry then made his way to Professor Burbage's office to drop off the portable cassette player. He noticed that the door was closed, and from what he could tell, nobody was inside, so he whispered the temporary password, Tempus Fugit. The door creaked open, and he looked for the filing cabinet that Professor Burbage described in the note. He saw it by the window and placed the cassette player and the tapes in the top drawer. He wrote a quick thank you note to Professor Burbage and left it on her desk, and then quietly exited her office. He then made his way to the Great Hall, as it was just about lunchtime, and took his seat at the Gryffindor table. Once again, it was just himself and the guys. Hermione was sitting by Lila, whose hair was fully braided in a halo pattern over the crown of her head. The girls were just chatting and giggling away.
She looks really, really good with her hair like that, Harry thought to himself.
He turned back to eat his lunch of a simple sandwich and carrot sticks. Harry nearly choked on one of his carrot sticks when he felt a hearty clap on his shoulder.
Hey there, Harry.
It was Neville with a big smile on his face.
Oh, hello, Neville, Harry replied. How's it going?
Good, and you? Neville asked.
Oh, I talked to Lila and Hermione earlier and let them know you were going to visit some professors during a free period. They said that they understood and that they'll talk to you later on. They're a bit busy now, I think.
I can tell, agreed Harry. Lila looks lovely, doesn't she?
Oh, she looks like an angel, Neville said. I wish it was me going with her tonight. I asked Professor McGonagall to help me with an outfit tonight. I didn't want to wear the same thing twice as I don't have a lot of presentable muggle-type clothes, Neville said quietly. She said that she should have something ready for me when class is out this afternoon.
That'll be good, replied Neville.
Oh, and Lila's really, really easy to talk to. I wish I knew that earlier.
Harry chuckled.
It's because she's a people person, Nevy. She's very outgoing. Talking to people comes very naturally to her.
Do you think she and I could be friends?
I'm not talking about dating her. It's simply a friend, like you and I are, for example, Neville asked.
Just keep talking to her. It won't take long, Harry assured Neville. She makes friends easily.
It sure sounds like it, Neville replied. Hermione's a nice girl, but she's quieter. I find it a bit more difficult to talk to her.
Lila is very extroverted, and Hermione's very introverted, Harry explained. They're alike in some ways, but very different in others, but they really seem to bring the best out of each other. I'm glad they get along as well as they do, he smiled at Neville.
Hermione's a much tougher nut to crack than Lila, but just be yourself, Neville.
You can be her friend, too, but she isn't the natural chatterbox Lila is.
What do you think I should do, then? Neville asked.
The same thing you're doing with Lila, just be yourself.
And don't take it personally if Hermione isn't as receptive as Lila is. There are times when she shoos me away to study or read some particularly fascinating mystery novel.
He grinned at Neville.
She needs some her time, you just have to respect that.
Lila needs some her time, too, but it's not as big a deal because we're not housemates.
I see, replied Neville. I'm afraid I don't have much in common with either of them, because they're both really good in school and I'd struggle with a lot of my classes. I don't read and I stink at games like Wizard's Chess or that Egyptian rat screw game that Lila taught us a couple of weeks ago.
Sometimes in order to forge friendships, you have to bridge the gap yourself, Harry explained.
Maybe you should ask Hermione for a book recommendation. I don't see you do a lot of reading in your free time, but maybe if you found an interesting fantasy or mystery novel, you couldn't discuss it with her once you're finished.
I guarantee that's one way to get her to open up.
Great, thank you, Harry, Neville said.
I'll have to get that a shot sometime.
You're right, I'm not a big reader, but maybe it's because I haven't found the right book yet. I'm sure there's something interesting out there.
I'm sure there is too, Neville, replied Harry.
Lila enjoys a good book too. If you're more comfortable, why not ask Lila for a recommendation first? She'll gladly talk books with you too.
Neville gave Harry a bit of a stunned expression.
I didn't know she was a bookworm. She's just so outgoing and bubbly, you know?
Like I said, she needs some her time too, Neville, and she often spends her personal time reading, Harry explained.
Gotcha, replied Neville.
Oh, I have a bit of a surprise for you, Harry said with a huge grin.
What's that? Neville asked.
I asked Professor McGonagall to invite Lila as a guest to the Gryffindor common room. She said that she trusts Lila, so as long as she's the only student from outside Gryffindor, and that as long as she's with myself or Hermione, then Lila's welcome to join us there, said Harry.
That's brilliant, Harry, replied Neville.
That's a special privilege.
For sure, it's very rare for students to spend time in other houses' common rooms, Harry said.
Truth be told,
I think Professor McGonagall's a little disappointed that Lila isn't a Gryffindor because she'd make a fantastic one.
She'd be a fantastic anything except Slytherin, Neville added.
I remember the sorting ceremony, Harry. I remember feeling so bad for you because you weren't both Gryffindors or Hufflepuffs.
I was very disappointed at first, yes, admitted Harry. But it all worked out. I'm glad Hermione reached out because she's an amazing friend too. She's the reason why I'm happy to be in this house. I mean, I'm glad to have friends like you, Ron, Dean and Seamus, but Lila and Hermione are my first two friends I've literally ever made. I'll always remember that.
I get it, Harry, replied Neville. They do things for you that nobody else in Hogwarts can. I see the look on your face when you're with them. It's nothing short of pure joy.
Joy's a great way to describe that feeling, Harry replied.
4 o'clock rolled around and Harry was finished for the day. He hurried to Professor McGonagall's office to pick up his attire for the evening. He excitedly knocked on the professor's door.
Good afternoon, Mr. Potter, Professor McGonagall said. I'm assuming you're here to pick up your outfit for this evening. I have it right here in this bag.
Hello, Professor, replied Harry. I thought 4 o'clock would never get here.
Professor McGonagall chuckled.
Well, here you go, young man. You may keep them for another evening later in the term if you wish.
Perfect, thank you so much, Harry said. I'll go ahead and get ready right away.
Don't be shocked if you see Miss Darling in the Gryffindor common room with Miss Granger,
the professor added.
I held them both this morning to let them know that she has my permission to spend time with her Gryffindor friends, as long as she's accompanied by yourself or Miss Granger. I'm sure that made her day.
I didn't even talk to either of them today. They were busy going over beautification charms, from what I could tell, Harry said.
I'm sure Miss Darling will look exceedingly lovely tonight, purred the professor.
Now off you go, young man. I don't want to keep you from getting ready for your outing.
Sounds good, and thanks again, Professor, replied Harry.
It's my pleasure, Harry, said Professor McGonagall.
Harry took the bag and practically flew up to the Gryffindor common room and then dormitory. He didn't even bother to check to see if Lila and Hermione were in the common room. He was so focused on getting cleaned up and changed. He grabbed a few toiletries, a washcloth, and a towel, and quickly showered in the boys' latrine. He brushed his teeth, sprayed on some deodorant, and proceeded to change into his special outfit. The deep, plum-buttoned dress shirt, simple black trousers, a yellow bow tie, and black braces to keep his trousers up. As he was about to leave the latrine, he passed by Percy the Prefect.
"Looking sharp there, Mr. Potter," Percy said. "Going somewhere special tonight?"
"Hi, Percy," Harry said. "I'm taking Lila out to the Three Broomsticks for some butterbeers. I got special permission from Professor McGonagall."
"Very good," replied Percy. "I'm sure the two of you will have a great time."
Harry's cheeks turned a deep vermilion.
Percy, I have a rather random question."
Percy nodded.
"What's up, Harry?"
"Do you have any cologne I could borrow?"
"I have a small amount of Eau de Manor.
I'll let you borrow it, but just a spritz or two. There isn't much left."
"That's plenty, Percy," replied Harry. "Thank you."
"I'll have it ready in just a few minutes."
"I take it you'll be in your room?"
Percy asked.
"That's right," replied Harry.
"I still have a couple of things to take care of."
Harry returns to his room to comb his hair. He combed it back this time and used a small glob of holding gel to keep it in place. A moment later, he heard a quiet knock on his door.
"Come in," Harry said.
It was Percy with the cologne.
"Hi there, Harry. If you don't mind, let me spritz you real quick," he offered. "Could you undo the top two or three buttons of your shirt, please?"
Harry did as he was asked, and Percy provided a couple of quick spritzes near the top of Harry's chest.
"That should do it,"
Percy said with satisfaction.
"Thanks again," Harry said in appreciation.
"Oh, Miss Darling is waiting for you in the common room, along with Miss Granger. She looks very, very lovely, if you don't mind my saying so," Percy said.
"Great, I can't wait," Harry said.
His heart was pounding even harder this time than it did the week before. Harry nervously made his way to the common room, and he was hardly prepared for the beautiful sight before him. He was afraid that his heart would stop beating altogether when he saw Lila. When he saw her, she took his breath away. There she was, sitting in a 2-seat couch with Hermione. She wore a lavender spaghetti strap party dress, dark opaque tights, and simple black ballet flats. Her golden hair was in a perfect halo braid. If anything, it looked even better than it did earlier, as they must have practiced throughout the day. It also looked like she used a simple makeup charm or two.
Whoa, Harry thought to himself.
Hermione looked gorgeous last Friday, but Lila somehow looked even better.
Be still my beating heart, Harry thought.
Hello, Lila, Harry said with a grin. I missed you today. You look utterly amazing.
Harry,
Lila replied with a radiant smile. I missed you today as well. You look incredibly handsome.
She stood up and gave Harry a gentle hug.
Hi, Harry,
Hermione said cheerfully. I'm sorry I didn't see you today, but I was helping Lila. She really wanted to look perfect for you.
You didn't have to go to all this trouble just for me, Harry shrugged.
I know, silly, Lila giggled. But you're worth every ounce of effort. Why don't you come sit down with us? Hermione suggested.
We have a bit of time before dinner.
Sure, replied Harry. And it looks like you beat me to the punch. I asked Professor McGonagall yesterday about inviting Lila to our common room, but I suppose she eyed you too earlier.
That's not the only good news that I got from Professor McGonagall today, Hermione said, barely able to conceal her smile.
She just heard back from my parents. They can't wait to have you over for Christmas.
That's terrific, exclaimed Harry.
Did she mention anything about meeting up with, or at least calling, Lila?
Yes, they now have Lila's parents' names, address, and phone number, and they'll be calling to make some sort of arrangements for us to all get together while school is out. I don't have any other details right now, but they really do want to meet Lila and her family.
That's wonderful news, Harry said.
Oh, I saw you two at the Hufflepuff table this morning. Were you practicing those beatification charms all day?
Both girls giggled.
You could say that, yes, said Lila.
Well, your efforts have paid off because you look gorgeous, Harry said.
I couldn't have done it by myself, admitted Lila.
Hermione helped make it happen.
I'm sure she did, replied Harry. You two did a great job.
Thank you,
both girls said simultaneously.
Harry smiled.
Let me get my permission notes. I think I remember how to get there, but just in case, I'll get the directions to get to Hogsmeade Village. Then we can head downstairs to the Great Hall for a bite. You ready?
Definitely, giggled Lila.
For the full text of this and other stories by the same author, visit the AO3 page of Fezzador. Music is The Industrious Ferret by Kevin MacLeod. Special thanks to Sakiko. If you would like me to record a story, voiceover, or character, please get in touch with me using the contact information on my website, which is located at samgabrielvo.com. And there you can find other stories that I've read, as well as a link to my Discord server and other ways to support what I do. And finally, as always, thank you for listening.